So through Kavod, we have supported about 100 Holocaust survivors locally, and we've done a lot of different things. We've done case management and referrals and helped connect them to resources. We also do a lot of programming, specifically taking them to ballets and operas, and we have a cultural club where we bring different speakers to talk about arts and culture and films, and we try to take them on walks and outings and different things that help reduce social isolation and makes them feel good and dignified.
It's been 70 plus years, and these people are still grappling with things. What are they dealing with still after all this time?
You know, a lot of our Holocaust survivors haven't really had opportunities to share their stories, especially those from the former Soviet Union. It's a part of the Holocaust narrative we don't hear often, and sometimes that group doesn't like to be compared to those who've been to concentration camps or other experiences that we know of. And so as they're getting older, they're not able to hold back these memories, and a lot of times they're coming back in these really difficult and painful ways. And so having these more positive outlets to share stories, to be surrounded by people who've had similar experiences has really enabled them to get through some of those challenges as you age and these memories just start to resurface. When it comes to trauma and traumatic backgrounds, there are a lot of things that can be triggers. And actually, a big part of our focus and things that we've done in our community is person-centered trauma-informed care, which is training different caregivers and people who work with Holocaust survivors on how to understand a traumatic background that someone might have and how that might impact how they behave or respond to different things that can be a trigger. Just to give you an example, when we first started signing people up to come to a program, we had a list, and then we realized putting your name on a list can actually trigger some really negative memories of the Holocaust, and they really did not respond well to that. And so we removed that piece of how we figured out who was coming and attending a program. Instead of having a list for them to write their name down, we did it. We found a different way to do it.
So what are some of the techniques that you use to reconcile some of those experiences?
So a great example is a recent project of ours where we created a cookbook with recipes from first and second generation Holocaust survivors, specifically from the former Soviet Union. And we asked them to come up with a recipe that maybe they learned from their childhood or from their family members. And it was a great positive way for them to reminisce about where they came from and their culture and different stories and experiences from the war definitely surfaced during that experience, but they were able to push it into a positive way, and they had the support and love around them that they needed to have that experience. Just last year for Holocaust Memorial Day, we took a group of three Holocaust survivors down to Bloomington, Indiana, and they shared their story on a stage for the very first time in their lives. And we were able to talk to them about how this can help this next generation learn from their experiences so that these experiences don't just happen in vain, that they are able to be a little bit more empowered through them, through the experience of telling these stories and through sharing them with the community.
Yeah, that sounds really mutually beneficial, not only to the people who are hearing it, but to the people who are delivering the message.
Absolutely. And it's a great connection to Ava Kaur and everything she represents. She uses her story to empower human rights and activism and social justice and really tries to find a way to take her really horrific experiences and turn it into a way that she can make the world better today.